So welcome to this graduate program intensive, only the second one ever. And I was going to make some joke about last one being the warm-up, but I don't think that was the case because it was a pretty awesome event. And today has already started off amazingly well. Thank you, Ian, for the Qigong. Yeah, is that right? Qigong, yeah.
That's me.
I've only known Ian 8 years and still can't get that right every time. So we might be a little less serious, a little less formal today. Seems to be the mood that I'm in, so we'll see where it goes. the main reason for this graduate program intensive was really just to take some extra time to be able to zoom into a few things, a few areas where it really helps to put some attention on that, to really give us a sense of deepening of seeing, and most importantly, make a difference in the amount of peace we're feeling and joy and love and all of that. So we're going to have a pretty packed schedule for the first three sessions, then we'll have a longer break and give us time to assimilate what we've been looking at. So I want to start right with the obvious, or maybe not so obvious, and that is, why are we here? And what is the purpose really of this session? And that really is this particular talk. I want to try to put something in a different perspective that perhaps you have already thought about maybe many times, but maybe this will make it a little bit clearer. A lot of beings ask questions about how to make the world a better place, how to help the planet, the species as a whole, move beyond certain self-limiting behaviors, certain selfish ways of being, and doing things that are generally not in alignment with the truth and not helpful to other beings, animals, and the planet as a whole. And right now, we are living at an unprecedented time where there's an opportunity and something happening around the globe that never really has happened before. And that is on the one side of this coin of awakening, we're seeing the old egoic structures beginning to break down and become more and more dysfunctional, where there is more and more kind of gasping in wonderment at how human beings can do those sorts of things going on around the planet. And a smaller and smaller minority of people doing those things around the planet. And the reason I want to bring this up is because there's one idea that really holds a lot of us back. I know it did me. And that is that this kind of global awakening that we're part of, that we are the leading edge of, that we are the front wave of, not just the graduate program, all around the world. There are communities like this that are growing in numbers every single day. And the overall, the average level of consciousness of the graduate program is rising and always will be. And same with all these other groups. But one idea that holds us back spiritually, which I hear over and over again, is that this global awakening can't happen until these old egoic structures are gone. And that's very much believed in our own awakening individually and as a whole species, as a consciousness wide in itself. So until there is the absence of war and disease and famine and abuse of all kinds and all of that, we can't see the global awakening occurring. And I want to flip that idea on its head, because expecting those that are doing those kind of behaviors to suddenly change and embrace the truth is extraordinarily unlikely. Extraordinarily unlikely to be able to look at the people we see on the nightly news doing the things that they're doing and expect them to have a sudden epiphany and realize the truth, that they are one with everything and that they're only hurting their own selves when they hurt other beings, is only going to lead us to frustration, really, when we see these things going on around the planet. Meanwhile, back in reality, in other news, there is this thing sweeping across the whole planet. And those that are able to and ready to awaken are beginning to awaken. And those that are not able to awaken, have no interest in truth, have really only invested interest in the old egoic ways of more for me, just this body here. Those forms will begin to die out. And as each form comes to the end of its natural lifespan, human being, human body, and that form dissolves and is kind of recycled and a new body is born. Each time that happens, the new body that's born is a more sattvic orientation, more harmonious, more interest in being kind and being generous in sharing resources and all of that. So if we were to take the analogy of a garden, and I was kind of eyeing Robert's garden, looks pretty awesome, by the way, not like my jungle at all, but there's this beautifully manicured, wonderful garden with all of these flowers growing in it. And in the corner of the garden, not Robert's garden, I must add, there is a few weeds growing, strangling other, you know, plants that are trying to grow and all of that, cutting out the light. And what we're all doing as a species is expecting those weeds to turn into roses. And they're not going to, they're incapable of. Not that I'm calling human beings weeds. It's going well today, isn't it? Can you tell? But those aspects of human beings, those behaviors, those consciousness levels that we would rather not see, we can't just expect them, those to die out in, and for suddenly global leaders to have an epiphany and realize, hang on, we really should be in satsang here. I mean, I'm not ruling that possibility out, but it's quite unlikely, isn't it? So as we're planting more roses and we're digging up these weeds and fertilizing the soil and not allowing these weeds to strangle the rest of the growth that's coming, naturally, percentage by percentage, humanity is becoming more sattvic. That just means, well, it has several, that Sanskrit word has several definitions, but pure, harmonious, more meditative, more being oriented, less involved in doing, accumulating. Less involved spiritually doesn't mean the body doesn't do. So a whole reason for me saying this is I would like you to come to start this intensive, at least my section of it, with the right understanding that once awakening begins in a being, it cannot be stopped. It can be delayed by egoic tendencies, paused. It could be put on pause, but you cannot stop it. And that there are people coming, numbers growing. every day, there are more people that are interested in what you're interested in, what we're talking about here. So this awakening is happening and cannot be stopped, both on the individual level, because you are a microcosmic reflection of what's happening in the macrocosm. Your body, your consciousness is condensed down from the allness into a representation of an individual. So it represents what's happening. Your own awakening represents, it's not happening to a single being, a separate being. It's happening, showing us what's happening on a global scale. And even in the time that I've been teaching, I've seen people wake up faster, holding on to their patterns less, and asking amazing questions that I would have never thought to ask. And moving generally forward in that understanding. And that is occurring all across the planet in different groups. So I'd like you to recognize and appreciate your place in that. That you're not someone someday hoping to be awakened and make a difference in the world. That you are already doing that. And that is so important for you to recognize. That we are this family here. You are my family. And as part of that, we are making a difference already. There's nothing else that needs to occur in your life for you to make a difference on this planet You're already doing it just by your very existence. Even if you never had another breakthrough in your awakening than you have so far, you would still be significantly radiating light to the planet just because of what you value most. So it's so very important to bring our attention to what's already occurring. Most of us have our attention planted firmly on what the media shows us, which is such a narrow, narrow snapshot of life, and always focuses on the worst aspects of humanity, the worst. And we use that as our evidence to say that this awakening isn't really gathering progress. We also unknowingly keep ourselves in a low vibration by doing that. I'm not saying to ignore what you see in the media, but to put it in perspective, that the truth that's happening through your own awakening, the light that you're shining into the world already, and that includes whoever's listening to this and says, yeah, but not me, because I'm still holding on to my patterns, or I still feel unworthy, or I keep identifying with mind again and then getting stuck and lost. That is just a representation individually of what's happening globally. We wake up for a while, tendency to fall asleep again, consciousness as a whole. And then when we wake up again, we have a clearer seeing. The whole average level of humanity consciousness surges forward, higher and higher, and it can never be backwards. And we are at the most beautiful time in human evolution. And as such, you are already doing and being everything you need to do to ensure your part in that. Do you really get that? Whatever your body does from this place of love and commitment to truth is going to be in alignment with what's best for all of humanity, and therefore the whole planet and every other species as well. It cannot be otherwise. And sometimes we don't appreciate that enough. We're always looking to some future moment where I'm awakened enough to start making a difference. And as part of the graduate program, I'd like you to really embrace that that is already occurring in and through and as you. The very fact that you feel a call to be in this awakening and committed so deeply to this. And the same for all beings around the world that are doing this, whether they're part of this group or another group, it really doesn't matter. Just already it's occurring. You know, we're not waiting for this revolution to start. It is in full swing and gathering momentum by the day. And I would just ask you to put a little bit more attention on that than trying to get the weeds to turn into roses. You know, that is a wonderful thing to hope, but as those weeds die out, then naturally there's going to be more space, isn't there, for the natural evolutionary process of consciousness when it comes into form is going through this evolution. And our species as a whole is going through this evolutionary process where we now have to and will make this jump to a more awakened way of being, which is where we're simply living as the fact that we're all the same being, and that anything we do to and for each other affects the whole. That there really is no individual action. There's nothing I can do here that doesn't simultaneously affect the whole. There is no individual action. Just as one wave on the ocean surface can't rise without simultaneously affecting the whole rest of the ocean. There is this undulation that's happening on the surface of consciousness as form, as manifestation. And it moves as a whole. You could take a snapshot of one body, mind, vehicle and say, that's my action. That's my awakening. But it's really not true. The one being is manifesting, breathing, evolving as all of this. And therefore, it cannot be stopped, this drive, this evolutionary drive in when it comes into manifestation to have more. And it's been through in the human form, it's kind of infant phase of the more I get, the better I am and the safer I am. And it went through the next stage of its evolution, which is the more I do, I'll be defined by what I do. And it's been through even that and come out to this final stage, which is only the recognition of what I already am, is really the most fundamental thing about this whole, the reason for this whole manifestation process. So a deep and abiding knowing of what you already are that's coming and deepening, that nothing at all is wrong on a level of the unmanifest. Pure awareness is infinitely free and always has been. And when it takes a shape, when it takes a form, becomes a form, it goes to the seemingly forgetting and then remembering as a human being. That process, even the awakening process, is going through its own evolution. 100 years ago, it was almost impossible to wake up. And then we had the internet and YouTube and all these things that now make it possible for anyone, anywhere, with no money at all, no resources to even just an internet connection, to have access to the most profound teachings. Can that really be if the planet was not going to have this global shift? So to recognize then your part in that, and I'm not talking about what you're doing, you can be doing the most normal job. You could have no job. You could be at home with your kids. Whatever you're doing at all, you're going to do it from a place of love, where your presence inspires others to want to reach for what they taste when they're around you. And I don't want you to entertain a thought here that, yes, but I'm not there yet. You are already significantly awake. The fact that you keep falling asleep again temporarily doesn't interest me. In that, it doesn't mean anything to me. That's just what consciousness does. It sees and then it falls asleep a little while. Then it wakes up with even more determination to stay awake. And it falls asleep a little bit, identifies with some thoughts, has a horrible experience, feels generally very bleh, and then wakes up again with even more. Just as the waves surging up the beach, when the tide comes in, each wave comes up further than the previous one. And you are like that in your evolution as a human being, your awakening. It cannot be stopped. You are the one being, the totality, the whole. The universe is becoming conscious of itself through and as you. And you are the most complex, most self-aware form that has ever been created on this planet. So it's done that to ensure its own ability to recognize itself as before form, to have these seeming opposites of form and formless, so that you can do that. So embracing what's already occurring, what you're already part of, is the first thing I really want to bring to the forefront in this talk today. And then how to really make the most of that, the second part, is by this amazing family and group that we've got here. The graduate program as a whole, the Sangha that's growing through these, with these teachings and through the teachings, is just as much a part of the teaching and the teacher. A teacher isn't really a body, is it? It's, and the teachings aren't really just words or YouTube videos. It's so much more than that. And therefore, I'd really like you to consider embracing the graduate program family even more than perhaps you already have done. What does that mean? It means embracing that there are already countless beings around you that want to help you. Maybe not around you physically yet, but definitely around you over the internet like this. And this is why we're going to have a longer break after the third session. We're going to have an hour break. I'm going to leave the meeting. What we're going to do is leave the meeting open, and we're not going to record it or anything. But here's a time where you can just share your insights that you've had with the fellow GP members that are on here, where you can make friends with someone. Whether you do that by talking, or you can send messages to each other, or put something in the chat when that open break is on. What I would love to see is, when I start the Zoom meeting for the graduate program sessions, that when I come to switch my camera on and get started, there's already a massive conversation going on. I saw today people waving at each other and all of that, and that was wonderful. And I love that. It warms my heart, and I want to encourage more than that. And I know that there's small groups gathering already just by nature of, you know, one person will inspire somebody else to join and all of that. But I'd encourage you to reach out to someone that you don't already know within the GP group, within your family, your GP family here. And the rewards of doing that will be amazing for you, because as you share with someone else, you'll begin to get that back tenfold. And if you don't know someone straight away, there's going to be this initial period of getting to know each other. You might not be discussing the deepest aspects of these teachings with that person straight away, but just getting to know someone else, letting down your barriers, being willing to make new relationships. If I was in your position, I would be asking as many people as I could to be my GP buddy. Even if all that we managed to do in a week was send each other a quick hello on WhatsApp, literally, just to connect with another being. I know everyone's busy, but could you spend 5 minutes a day sending encouraging messages, or could you, you know, get on the sanghas and just help out by sharing your experience, if you want to, of course. There is such a golden opportunity here. You are appearing as a human form, which is the statistics of that are, the chances of that are astronomical. And then appearing as a human being interested in awakening, even more wow. And then appearing as a human being interested in awakening, already being part of a family, a community, a sangha that is headed towards the same place as you. That is priceless. That is gold. And each one of us has our own stuff going on in our life. And that is even more reason to reach out. You don't have to share intimate details of your life, but, you know, are there times when you could just say, I need some help, I need some support, I'm feeling really terrible, or, you know, can somebody just help me? So are you making the most of the sangha? Are you contributing as much as you want to? And I don't mean necessarily having to, you know, put your camera on and talk if you don't feel that you can do that. That's not what I mean. I mean, when, you know, someone asks a question, could you silently, you know, when you see someone really struggling, could you silently wish them well? Can you recognize that within yourself as well? I've been there, I am there right now, whatever is going on within you. We have a golden opportunity here. And it's happening already, whether you're conscious of it or not. And maybe consider, as you, you know, continue in the graduate program, consider making friends with the new people that come into the graduate program. There's three types of buddies that kind of tend to happen. And those are the new people joining, making friends with other new people. They'll help each other massively to kind of orient and get used to the way the graduate program works and get the benefits out of it. And then there's someone who's been in the graduate program longer, making friends with someone who's just joined. And you'll both get incredible benefits from that, opening up and sharing and contributing to someone else's awakening. It is the best experience you can have ever. The deep, deep bonds of friendship and love that begin to come, unconditional love for each other. And then those that have been around for a while, really deepening our friendships with those that have been around for a while and able to discuss the teachings on a very deep level. That's extraordinarily powerful as well. So just, this is just a reality check, isn't it? On where you actually are, resetting, wiping the slate clean for today, that you're not coming to this intensive looking for some golden nugget that's going to set your awakening going. It's already in progress. Please, 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 please don't use the fact that you go back into illusion as evidence that that's not occurring. It happens across the board. It happens for all awakened beings before they stop doing that. They do that for a while. It doesn't really mean anything. I mean, yes, it's a crappy experience if you start believing thoughts. Your body or your finances or your emotions or your friendships will immediately tell you you're doing that. I'm not negating that, of course, but it doesn't mean anything to me spiritually. It doesn't mean you're going backwards. It can't happen. That can't happen. It means you're brave enough to embrace this path and the challenges that come with that. Working through your karmic patterns, working through causality loops that perhaps have been going on your entire existence and you haven't really been able to unravel until you get to a community like this, where you can get the loving support of many beings, whether it's through the WhatsApp groups, whether it's through the Facebook group that we've got for the graduate program, whether it's in the sanghas, whether it's before and after sessions like this. Let's see if we can be here for each other. Let's see if we can celebrate each other. Let's see if we can encourage each other even more than we are, because that will come back. And that's not the reason we're doing it, but it'll come back to us tenfold. The karmic, I'm using that word karmic, but it also has a very positive, we could, I don't really like to use the words negative and positive, but we could talk in terms of positive karmic benefit for your mind and body. And there is a huge positive karmic benefit for being involved in a group like this. And the more times I can reach out and make friends with someone and break out of my comfort zone, then the more I'm going to feel this massive, massive, massive impact on me as well. You cannot reach out to another being without uplifting both of you. Because really that other being is you. And as you allow yourself to break out of old habits, you know, sometimes I think we're all a little too polite. We sort of sit there quietly waiting for the session to start. And maybe we need to do that on an open satsang, you know, where there's new people. But here in our graduate program family, I'd love to see everyone having a laugh and a joke and, you know, saying hi to each other and seeing what's happened since the last time we got online and all of that. Doesn't that feel like something that naturally wants to come anyway? And you'll find as time goes on with the graduate program that you get closer to people in the graduate program than perhaps you are with your siblings or your parents. Simply because you know you're not going to be judged by them. They're going to accept you unconditionally and love you. And they always already do. And there's no other option, that all they have is encouragement and love and support for you. So here we have a vehicle, a method, a expression already happening of the global awakening, versus your own individual awakening, but also as this family that's growing, this community, this sangha, you know, the very literal meaning of that word is to come together in truth. So all of this is really to help kind of reset where we're gonna go into some of the lessons later. We're gonna do some meditation, we're gonna do some exercises, we'll do some statement process work later, some conscious imagining. We'll have finished with a satsang and a talk. But let's do that from the right place. That we're here to celebrate our awakening that's already unfolding. We're here to celebrate that no matter what our mind says about our awakening and our ability to achieve that, it is already unfolding. You plant a seed and you water it and you look after it, it has to grow, it has to bloom. There's no other option, is there? Just like humanity as a whole is kind of digging those weeds out, we're doing it with our own consciousness too, individually, and as the graduate program family. And that's pretty awesome in my eyes. That is, I wonder sometimes if I would ever find the words to tell you how amazing it is when I see you all giving your all and waking up and having epiphanies and carrying on despite the struggles, the challenges that come with life as a human being. They can be incredibly tough sometimes, can't they? Even when we find our own peace, we see those around us still struggling, and we have to begin to, our family, our loved ones, we have to begin to come to terms with that then as well. So I'd like you to see if you can reorient yourself and keep reorienting yourself and asking each other to help you stay in this. It's already occurring. It cannot be stopped, because your mind will be telling you the opposite, that you're failing, that you shouldn't be identifying with thoughts anymore, that there's something wrong with you because you're doing that, because attention wanders to some quite juicy thought, even though that thought is very painful when believed, and the experience that corresponds to that is same, 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 here we go again. Your mind will say that should not be occurring. And if I could just get you to stop that one thought, your whole life would change. More simply put, if you identify with thoughts for a day or an hour or a week, so what? Doesn't mean anything to me. Well, it means you just have a kind of a crappy week, doesn't it, really? You feel terrible, and then you come back out and you're still the same as you were before. You're still the same divine expression of love. Just that powerful love seemed to be obscured for the week because you believed some kind of thought about yourself or someone else. There is nothing you could tell me about yourself that would make me have anything less than unconditional love and acceptance. There is nothing that you have done or did not do or might do in the future that could change my opinion of you. And pretty much everyone else in the graduate program feels the same way about you. Have you realized that? They're all cheering you on. They're all metaphorically holding your hand. And sometimes physically when we all get together. But the reason for that is because it is our nature to love, isn't it? To encourage, to support. So I'm going to ask you to keep, I might just check in through the day and ask you to just check that you're coming from the place where it's already happening and there's nothing to worry about. You cannot stop your awakening. The more you reach out and connect with other beings, the more, in the graduate program especially, because they're learning the same stuff the same way. We're all learning the same stuff, but using the same teachings and words and all of that. Then the more smooth that unfolding is going to be. It's like adding fertilizer to the garden, isn't it? The Sangha, using the Sangha. So I want to really impress upon you that. Can we take a deep breath right now, all of us, and just accept it is so, it is happening. Because over and over again, your mind will be trying to pull you back into some other experience, some other understanding. So recognizing what's already happening for you. And if you need me to keep telling you, I'll tell you. I'll tell you as many times as you need to hear it. For me, that was about 10,050 or something. And it doesn't matter how many times it's been said, we can say it again. You're already perfect. You're already complete. And on the level of form, you are experiencing this evolution to less and less limitation and eventually none. That takes as long as it takes through the mind and body, karmic patterns to be released. And if you love yourself now, accept yourself now as you are, and try to see yourself as I see you and your fellow graduate program members, your whole life will turn around. You experience the most wonderful existence and abundance of all the ways it can come, not just peace or joy or love, all the outer ways. You know, Christ, he really wasn't joking when he said, and all else will be added unto you. After the disturbance part, the seeing, and then he said, you'll be disturbed, which you might be going through right now. And then all else will be added unto you. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is also known as you. I wonder if you kind of really got that. We are this family. Humanity is the second coming of Christ. This is it happening right in front of us right now, through every class, every insight, every contemplation, everything that we do, every kind word that's spoken to someone in pain, every deepening that you have, every time you reach out to someone else, every time you recognize and love yourself a bit more. And we're not waiting for some happening, this second coming. We're not waiting for some event. What if it's an unfolding that's been going on continuously, maybe that we haven't really noticed and valued that completely? I'm not saying that we should ignore what's going on in the rest of humanity. Not saying that at all. I'm just saying that we should see this as a phasing out of the old, that is less and less acceptable. And with us, of course, completely unacceptable right now, that a human being would do something like that. As these beings, these forms go and disintegrate, new higher vibrational ones are coming in. It cannot be otherwise. So let's just see if we can hold that in our hearts throughout today and the rest of our life, if you want to, the rest of our lives. How wonderful and glorious it is that we have already found this family. I think that is beautiful, isn't it? That is extraordinary. And because of that, because we're contributing, because we're in a community, because we're committed to loving ourselves and others, this global awakening has to happen. It's not an if. If you listen to the news, it's an if, but if you recognize how it looks from the self, there is nothing to get in the way of that. And maybe we can look at that later with the conscious imagining, but just to hold that in your heart as we go through today, that you are part of something amazing. You are something amazing. You are the literal second coming of Christ. You are a living incarnation of the Buddha. You are Krishna, already appearing in form. And the only thing that needs to kind of shift is for you to see that clearer, how it already is. So, thank you. Namaste.